Is good, everybody. Welcome back to another podcast here on the Malaga Drive Hoops Betting Podcast, the podcast that aims to make your NBA betting experience as easy and as straightforward as possible, man. Again, I am the freak. I am the nerd. I love this shit too much. And so I'm going to give you everything I know about these next couple games in hopes that it makes it a little bit easier for you when figuring out what you want to play today. But either way, happy Saturday, guys. The vibes are extremely high. I don't know if you knew, but the vibes are extremely high today. We're still in the dog days of the NBA. Love that. We got baseball, which probably doesn't crack my top three in terms of favorite sports, but I appreciate the art that is baseball during the summer. We got Ben Askren and Jake Paul tonight. Probably not going to pay for that, but going to try and find a stream. I'm interested at least a little bit. And then we still got soccer rolling around. So, guys, just stay up, stay blessed, have a great weekend. I will be as short and sweet as I can be on this podcast. Let's recap yesterday. We go 2-0. We go 2-1-0. We push one. We cash Nets minus 12.5. Looks scary there early on. But again, my whole reason for hitting that, and I almost didn't because, again, you know, I get scared of those big spreads. But 48 minutes, man. 48 minutes. If the Hornets could hang in there for stretches, and they damn did. They did. They hung in there for a whole half and maybe a half of a quarter. They honestly, you could say they hung in there for three quarters. And then, you have 48 minutes. It's just too long for a team of that talent level to hang with a team of the Nets talent level with the Nets off of a loss. Cashed the team total pretty easily, too. 117.5. I think they scored 130, so that was relatively sweat-free. You could see they were on a pretty good pace. And they were just hitting shots. And then the most frustrating one, push Sixers minus 3. It's always, you know, you're always at risk of doing that at the end of games, man. They were up 6 with 30 seconds left. Give up a 3 to Reggie Jackson, then miss a shot, and then you know the Clippers are going to hit a 3, so you're like, okay, we're not in the worst spot. If the Clippers make the 3, we go into overtime, we got a chance. If they miss, we're getting the board, and we're getting fouled. And they got the board, but it was kind of a scramble situation, and they couldn't get to fouling in time, so they lose by 3. We push that. We still move our way up to 116-98, I believe. 116-98, yes. So 18 games over 500, hitting a little over 54%. Again, the goal is to get to 56%. That's about what the best professionals are hitting at, and I really believe we can get there in this sport of the NBA, which I watch religiously. All right, we got a shorter slate today, but let's jump into it. Let's not waste any more time. First game of the day, actually tipping off at 1 o'clock. I mentioned it. Lakers and Jazz. And this is interesting to me because I'll tell you why. Because we have the Jazz here who have been dominant. You look at the big picture, zoom out, they've been dominant this year. They've had little stretches here and there where they haven't looked great. But in the big picture, they've been dominant. They probably, them or the Suns, it comes down to, you pick one of those two in terms of who's been the more consistent team all year long. And that's the thing with this Jazz team. They've done it without individual pieces, right? They've done it without Donovan and still look dominant with everyone else. They've done it without Mike Conley and still look dominant without everyone else. They've done it without Jordan Clarkson and still been dominant. They've actually done it a couple times without Conley and Clarkson. But they have never once done it without Conley, Mitchell, and Gobert. And that's the big three, really, for this team. Now, it's interesting because, again, you have a team that's been so good all year long. Now, they're missing their three best players. And it's like, okay, how much you were up here, how much does that drop you? And I think that's actually a spot where I get a lot of edge. You've seen it this year. Like, when the Bucks had everyone ruled out, I hit the Knicks in their spot. I believe I had that same thing happen with the Hornets, where the books still were crediting the Bucks despite missing six guys. I think you're seeing a similar thing here today. And the Lakers, again, I've talked about it many times, they've struggled plenty without AD and Bron, as expected. But they've also beaten the teams that they should beat. And even sometimes, you know, they beat Brooklyn without, and they were outmatched. Yes, Kyrie got tossed, but whatever, KD was still there. And so you have with the Lakers right now, especially now, because it's like, it's not right after, right? They've had weeks, months with AD to adjust to how to optimize a group without those two. And so now, you know, they're playing their, they're not playing unbelievable basketball, but they're playing good enough basketball to where if you're not a good team, you're probably not going to beat them. So you get them off a loss at home. Utah's played a back-to-back yesterday at 12 or 1 o'clock and are now missing their three best players. I think the Lakers should be 3-ish point favorites. Now, the only thing that's kept me from hitting this right now, it is minus one. The only thing that's kept me from hitting this right now is, like, everyone on the team is probable or questionable. And, again, these are the dog days. And so you just never know when the bullshit's coming. So I want to avoid locking anything in before the bullshit. Because, again, this line is short. This line, if Dennis Schroeder, Montrezl Harrell, Andre Drummond, Wesley Matthews, if they all suit up, Kuz, if they all suit up, this line is short. It 100% is short. I think it should get to 3.5, 4. But I could very easily see one of Schroeder or Kuzma or one of those guys sitting today, just because that's kind of the point of the season we're in. So that's where I'm at on this. If everyone's suiting up for the Lakers, and again, you look at the injury report, I'll go through it for you guys right now. It's no joke. I mean, a lot of them are probable, but this is just in terms of how many guys could potentially miss. Markieff Morris is questionable. He didn't play last game. Dennis Schroeder is probable. Has a right foot infection. I don't know how you can have an infection and be playing, bro. Like, that's, you're just putting your infection in a sweaty ass shoe and sock. Like, I honestly don't understand how that works, but props to him. I don't think you should be thugging this out at this point of the season. Like, just let your foot get right, bro. The playoffs are in like a month, bro. But whatever. Drummond's probable with a foot. His big toe. Bro, this sounds made up as hell, bro. Look at this. Look at this shit. Right foot infection, Dennis Schroeder. Big toe contusion, Andre Drummond. Pinky finger, left pinky finger, questionable. We don't want Wes to suit up with a tight Achilles tendon. He's already torn it. And then strained calf for Kuz. I don't know how you're suiting up with a strained calf. But regardless, that's where I'm at. Lakers, if everyone is ruled in. The Jazz, again, starting lineup, I don't know what it looks like. I believe they have this, like, upstart young guard that I've seen in garbage time who's not terrible, who'll probably start. The three locks to start are Bojan, Joe Ingles, and Royce O'Neal. I don't think Azubuike, who they drafted just outside the lotto last year, I guess it was late first round, as a center out of Kansas, is ready. I would guess Juwan Morgan or Niang or Brantley start, but regardless, there's going to be a lot of minutes up for grabs for the Jazz that are going to be filled by players who, to this point, have not proved themselves as even NBA rotation players. All right, next game, Wizards-Pistons. Another game to just be wary of. I think this line looks short. Right? I'm seeing it 4.5. But don't be shocked at all if Bradley Beal doesn't suit up. If Bradley Beal and everyone's good to go, back-to-back, whatever, for the Wizards, 4.5 is too short. Like, what? I don't understand that. I don't understand that at all. But it's hard because the line generally trickles towards the way it should before the news even breaks. So I think the Wizards have the most value here for sure. It just comes down to, is Bradley Beal, who's sat the last couple back-to-backs, going to sit today? All right, next game. I do have a play on this one. We got the Bulls minus 2.5 right now. They were actually at 3, just moved down to 2.5. I got a minus 2 last night. Facing the Cleveland Cavaliers, and let me tell you a little bit why I'm on the, a little bit about why I'm on the Bulls. Look, I think right now this is just a slight overreaction to Zach LaVine being out. And again, Zach LaVine being out definitely hurts. You look at this Bulls team, they've lost 5 in a row, including to Orlando, including to Memphis twice, including to Minnesota, right? That's ugly as hell, for sure. But at the end of the day, after watching this league, you just understand that teams go through shit like this and they come out the other side generally. And I think this is another spot where this lines up for them to come out the other side today. Yes, LaVine is out and they are definitely better with him than without him. But I think, again, this allows other guys to step up. It's not like the Bulls don't have anyone. And you look at their most recent game. Again, look at down the lineup. Kobe White, their starting lineup is Kobe White, Nick Vucevic, Daniel Tice, Patrick Williams, Garrett Temple. That's not a terrible starting lineup. It's not great, but it's not terrible. Their bench is Thad Young, Denzel Valentine, Lauri Markkanen, Ryan Archie Diakno, Troy Brown. Again, not bad. This Cavaliers team is one of those teams that randomly they'll have good game, but the normal version of the Cavs that you get is a bottom five team. You look into April, their last three games, they lose at home against the Raptors, who are without Kyle Lowry, Fred VanVleet, and Pascal Siakam. They lose to the Hornets at home, who were without Lonzo Ball. They get an impressive win at Charlotte, but Charlotte was missing PJ Washington. Literally was missing everyone besides Terry Rozier and Devontae Graham. Actually, I don't even think Devontae Graham suited up. And then, you know, they get 18 piece by the Warriors at home. To me, this Cavs team, again, the talent is not even that bad, but you can tell it's not a talent that works together super well. It's not a talent it's not a group that is optimized every single night. It's a group that kind of plays somewhat with their head cut off offensively and defensively. Their two lead guards in Sexton and Garland. Garland's a little bit of a playmaker, but those guys still would rather score than create for others. They don't stop anyone on defense. I saw this Bulls team without Zach LaVine literally at the end of last month, late March, last day of March, March 31st, going to Phoenix and lose by 5, and they very easily could have won that game. The Bulls are just, look, you're getting the Bulls as a more talented team, slightly discounted because Zach LaVine's out. And again, Zach LaVine being out should affect this line. But you're going to get, guys, the Bulls are full on. They are here for the playoffs. They hired Billy Donovan for this. They got a whole new front office. Zach LaVine revamped his game. They traded for Vooch. This team wants to be in the playoffs. It's been much too long. This is a city that, again, MJ built this. Like, this is a city that's been so used to and accustomed to the playoffs in the past. That is what they are here for. And again, a lot of teams are, but I'm just saying they have this goal of making the playoffs, and it's not like a 5-game losing streak pushes them out of it. So this is not sulk time. This is lock in time. You're getting the better team, more motivated team at home, having to cover a 2-point spread. I think it's just a similar situation to yesterday where it's like the Bulls. I'm very, very confident the Bulls are going to win this game. It's just I'm hoping I can get it over too, right? Because if we don't, then they're pushing or we're losing. But I see a Bulls 8 to 10 point win coming out tonight. So give me the Bulls. I would hit it up to 3. I really would hit it up to 3. It's at 2.5 right now. Next game, Warriors and Celtics. This is another game I got to play on. Randomly, about, I'd say like 10, 20 minutes ago, Jaylen Brown just got downgraded to questionable. And that moved the line from 5 to 3.5. So I would assume that's not just, oh, we'll see. That's more of a, okay, he's probably not going to play. Or else I think you see the line move a little bit more. Regardless, though, my play today is Warriors team total over 111.5. I think it's at 112 now. I think 112 is still fine. Even up to 112.5. And here's why. I think this line is down because Boston's played in... First off, the total is down because Boston's played some slower paced games. And Boston's one of those teams that they kind of adapt to whatever game their opponent plays. If their opponent's an up and down team, they'll get up and down. If their opponent's a more slog it out team, they'll slog it out. And you see it, right? You look, Knicks game 101-99. Timberwolves game 145-136. Like Blazers game 116-115. Philly game 96-106. So for me, I think you're getting the total's down a little bit because they've played some slower paced teams. Two, I think the Celtics offense has started to... I know the Celtics offense over the last month. Again, you look, they're actually... Sneakily, they've won 7 out of their last 8 in April. But a lot of that is the offense clicking. And so when they put more points up, it speeds the game up. And for me, the big thing is this Warriors team, I don't think people realize, without James Wiseman, it really allows this... It was almost like they were caught in between two minds with Wiseman being there, where they like, I want to develop him, and so we got to get him touches. But when he's out there, really, I don't think people realize how important the center position is to Steph Curry's success, because that center position is basically like a blocker for Steph in some ways. Like, he's the main screener. He's a guy, the center, in a lot of situations, Steph likes to come off pin downs, likes to curl around bigs and get handoffs. And James Wiseman is just, the game's moving too fast for him to find Steph in these opportune situations. Kevon Looney's not even looking to score. If Kevon Looney has a wide open layup at the rim, he'll take it. Or a wide open three with the shot clock down, coming down, or mid-range, he'll take it. Other than that, he's not looking to score. And I honestly like that, because it means he's looking to find people, and that often means he's looking for Steph Curry. And so it's allowed the Warriors to play a little bit more free. And then when he's off, the center position is occupied by Draymond and Juan Toscano-Anderson, which, as a result, it leads us to just playing faster basketball. It leads us to optimizing Steph more. And I'm not going to lie, Kelly Oubre being out lets the ball moves just so much better. And Kelly has his strengths as a slasher and a wide-open shooter. But let's just call it how he is. He's a little bit too selfish for this team. He still thinks he's a budding all-star on the offensive end. And I'm just talking about the way he plays. He hasn't said anything. But the way he plays, man, he takes certain shots that the ball should be moved immediately. And I just like the faster pace. The offense looks a lot better with Kevon instead of Wiseman. And I'm going to keep riding that until it doesn't. You look at basically, Wiseman got hurt against the Rockets. And so they've ran this lineup out for the last three games. 116-107 win against the Nuggets. That's a slow-paced team. 147-109 win against the Thunder. That's a slow-paced team. 119-101 win against the Cavs. Another slow-paced team. Do the Celtics play some defense? Yes. Have they been really playing a lot better of late? Yes. The Warriors should be able to score 112 points today with their new kind of system that they've got going. And they're locked in. They know this is the push that they need to make. I got the Warriors easily flying over the team total. I like it. I like the over too. I think this is going to be a little bit more of a high scoring game. Jaylen Brown being out does give me some concern for the full game over, but again, I'll just take my chances with the Warriors scoring over 111 points today. 111 and a half. All right, last two games. We got the Memphis Grizzlies going into Milwaukee. And again, guys, this game is at 6:10. Like, the Bucks, for all intents and purposes, are kind of chilling. The Grizzlies are still battling, but I'm just saying it's a back-to-back for the Grizzlies. Don't be surprised if someone is ruled out close to lock. That being said, I think I'd have this closer to 7. Again, I've talked about it many times. Bucks are good. They're a good basketball team. They're above-average basketball team. They're low-key really good. But they get priced as if they're elite. And I can't say that they've shown me enough to be elite this year. It's a nice story. It's a nice idea. They're not elite right now. And this is almost, again, a price as if they're elite. This Grizzlies team, low-key, is one of the hottest teams in the NBA. They're playing well. They've had a couple hiccups here and there. But overall, the big picture, the last month, they've played their best basketball. And it's legit. I think this line, again, is here because the Bucks are the Bucks. And the Grizzlies are not sexy. And this is a back-to-back for the Grizzlies. But regardless, I like the Grizzlies getting the points here today. It's one of those spots, though, where you know the Bucks, if they are clicking, they blow people out. I just don't think it happens as often as the books expect it to happen. And I already got two plays I like today, so I'll probably lay off. And again, I honestly like the Lakers and Wizards today, too, so I might hit that. But I'm going to lay off. I like the Grizzlies here today, though. Playing their best basketball, 8's too much. 8's too much. All right, last game, Spurs-Suns. This one's tough, man. Again, the Spurs were looking really, really good early on in the year, and they've just, I don't want to call it a collapse, but they really are in a downhill turn. They've lost 1, 2, 3, 5, 7 out of their last 9. One of those wins that they did get was against the Orlando Magic. They were really in control of the game almost all game against the Blazers last game, and then lose by 1. Really, really tough. And you just see it. The team's built around DeMar DeRozan, who I love, but it's hard to win games consistently with him as your best player unless you have a really, really good rotation around him. Suns are one of the more dominant teams, both at home and just in general. I think this line's fair. It's high. It's really high. I think if I gun to my head here, I'm taking the points, right? I'm taking the points. But you could definitely make an argument that the Suns are 9-point better, especially after a heartbreaking loss and a back-to-back. So I'm completely staying away from this game. If you want to play it, I think the Spurs have the most – more value. I think it's 9.5 in some spots. You go ahead and grab that, but definitely not something I'm excited to bet. So today we'll recap it. We got Bulls -2, we got Warriors team total over 111.5, and if you want to make a parlay, I do think, again, you'd assume some of those guys are shooting up for the Lakers. You go Lakers, you go Bulls money line, Wizards money line, and then throw in like the Mets. Again, this is a basketball podcast, but DeGrom's on the bump. Like, are they going to lose that game? No. Throw the Mets in there. And then rare soccer. So I love soccer. It's probably my second favorite sport. And I don't know. I will, full transparency, I do not know it the way I know the NBA. But that's because I'm a literal NBA freak. But I do follow the Premier League pretty closely. I like Wolves. Wolverhampton, you might see him as Wolverhampton. You might see him as Wolves. I like the Wolves to get the dub over Sheffield United today. Wolves are not an amazing team by any stretch. They're sitting 12th in the table out of 20th, but they're solid. They generally can get the job done against a inferior team, and that's definitely what they got today. They're playing the last place team. Sure, you can talk about, you know, desperation. They have 14 points, right? They have 4 wins, 2 draws, and 25 losses. They've lost 8 out of their last 9. They're going on the road to Wolves. Sometimes you can find more value in soccer just because there's 3 different outcomes. So it's not just a win or loss. They have to factor a draw in there. So it gives you some better odds on wins a lot of times. And I took the Wolves at -144. I believe they're almost down to 130 in some spots, but regardless, give me the Wolves here today. You can throw that in the parlay with all those guys. Anyways, happy Saturday, guys. Enjoy your weekend. Enjoy your day. I will be back tomorrow to talk. Tomorrow might be tough, honestly. Not going to lie, tomorrow might be tough. Let's see. Tomorrow we got some games, man. Some of them, we got 2 games starting at 10 also. All right, we'll figure it out. But I appreciate you all tuning in. Enjoy the rest of your day and your weekend, and we will talk soon. Peace.